Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. I'm always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know every month we have our good friend Than Bennett on the show for what we've in the past called a faith perspective from the Hill. As you know, in the last several months, Than stepped away from his role on the Hill and now serves the kingdom in a completely different way. So going forward, each month when Than joins us, we're going to touch on what is happening in the news, but with an emphasis on viewing life through a redemptive lens. How are we to discern the times? What are we to do? What are we to know? How are we to pray? And what can we physically do to help our communities flourish? I love these questions. You know, first I want to bring a personal disclaimer to you before today's show. These conversations are always a little challenging for me, not because of Than. He's just my best bud, and I can't think of anybody that I trust more to address these topics, but it's just such a polarizing day. And especially right now, I've taken a recent break from the news cycle. My brother is in the hospital. We put my dog Memphis down on Saturday. I'm still grieving that. I'm buried under task lists as we're getting ready to launch my new book. And I just had another portal open up in my email, dumping 6,000 emails into, mixing in all of these really important deadline emails with a bunch of other junk emails. And I'm feeling the press. So I just needed to take a break. So I'm a little clueless. I'm just going to be honest. But Than isn't clueless. So we're going to go along today and learn what God wants us to know through the news, and let Than really unpack it for us. If you've got questions about what's going on today, again, we always want to set the tone that this is not a divisive debate at all. We're just seeking to get, you know, what is going on? What does God want us to do? And we want this to be a place, we're not like claiming neutrality, because there's some policies, when you line them up with Scripture, are not good. They're evil. They're bad. These are trying times. But as best as we can, we want to present issues, knowing that a lot of times Christians stand on opposite sides of these issues. So what's going on? What should we know? How can we pray? Like I said, these are hard conversations. They're not easy, but it feels like we need to go there once in a while, don't you think? If you've got questions, you can text them to 877-933-2484. Some of the things we're going to touch on today is the latest Trump indictment. Again, strong feelings on both sides of that issue. Student loans, you know, the debt cancellation plans that are looming. Flooding in Ukraine, what does that mean? Lessons from the debt limit deal. And we're going to get Than on in a moment, but just because of how I'm feeling today, I'm thinking some of you probably feel this way as well. Instead of an announcement, I'm going to read Scripture, and it's Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city, and it cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos, this is true, and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders, and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the earth. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I'll be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. I needed to remember that today. How about you? The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. He's on his throne. He sees all. And in one day, in due time, he's going to wipe our tears away and make all things new. So we wait and live expectantly with love and hope in our hearts. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We're going to get him on the show. Van Bennett is the founder and president of Every Good Work, which consists to equip Jesus followers for a life of impact. Van and his wife, Brooke, are co-founders of A Fearless Life. Listen to this, which works to find and fund a family for every adoption-eligible foster child in America. Van has more than 20 years of high-level public policy experience with a particular focus on the U.S. Congress and United Nations. He's the author of In Search of the King and My Fame, His Fame. He and Brooke live in Southern Maryland with their three children, Jude, Gambrel, and Hope, as well as a host of farm animals. The Bennetts are longtime members of National Community Church in Washington, D.C. Dan, we love you. Welcome back to the show.
Susie, love you too. And I got to tell you, I just so appreciate that introduction to today's conversation. I wanted to say a couple things. First, praying for Kevin, you as you grieve Memphis. I know that pain, thinking of you, I know that's a difficult time. Second, you know, I think there's probably at least an element of being out of the news where ignorance is bliss, right? I'm not at all suggesting that we want heads in the sand. And I'm so grateful to be able to talk through these issues with you. But the thing I really wanted to make a comment on, you read that God's voice thunders. And Susie, that has long been my favorite description of God's voice. My favorite verse actually that uses that terminology is in Job 26. It says, indeed, these are but the fringes of his ways. How faint is the whisper we hear of them. Who then can understand the thunder of his power? Susie, our God needs only to whisper for the power and the result of his voice to make a thunder. So I just love that you started with that today. Thank you for
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, often I quote Psalm 46:10 a lot, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. But so often you see that in beautiful scenic pictures or on cards or with music that's very reflective. But if you take the full chapter, his voice is thundering because the nations crumble. The nations are in chaos. You hear his voice roaring over the chaos of what's happening on earth. And in all of that, he says, be still. Yes, I see all of this, but still be still. I think we just need to hear that, and it's a great way to start today. So thanks for that, Dan. And before we get into some of the news points and even talking about what's true and beautiful, let's start with what God is talking to you about these days.
You know, it's so ironic. It's not ironic, really. It's really God, Susie. But I actually wanted to share something very much along the lines of what we just talked about. And that was what I wrote about at the opening of my Equipped newsletter this week. And it's God speaking through Paul's words to the Ephesians chapter 3. And the whole chapter is really powerful. And I would encourage everyone actually to read the whole chapter after the broadcast. But I wanted to read just a couple of these snippets. Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And then it goes on to talk about how he can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. So it's this mix of love and power and how they go together. And, you know, Susie, just personally, this vastness of God's love for me, it's something that he's been doing sort of a slow and steady work in me for a while now. And I think the most recent iteration of it is just to remind me that any real power I hope to have in my life is directly entangled with his love for me. He is love, right? God is love. And it's through that love, when I'm rooted in it, when I'm established in it, that's when I can have real power in my life. And then the reverse is, of course, true. Apart from him and outside his love, I can really do nothing. But rooted in his love, resting in that passion for me, all things are possible, and his power can really be unleashed. But I think they have to go together. You know, power mm-hmm. without love is destructive, Susie. We know this. And love without power is impotent. It's essentially worthless. Power and love have to go together to work their purpose. And there are, you know, there's probably a whole show worth of layers that we could get into here, but I want to land on this thought for those who are listening. We can rest in this. The listener, they can rest in this. This reality takes the pressure off of us because you are loved with an everlasting love that is wide and long and high and deep. And when you rest in that love, all of your striving can stop. It can cease because your life then is caught up in a power that is so much greater and so much more expansive than your own.
Wow, it would be fun to dig into Scripture and look for all the mentions where power and love are mentioned together. And one we know about, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And you think about, boy, you put those three together, you've got an amazing combination when you're walking in dunamis power and agape love and wits and wisdom about how to navigate the times. Really, Dan, we've talked about this before, but the opposite of that, you know, power is walking in the flesh. And instead of love, self-preservation. Instead of sound mind, it's crazy-making and gaslighting. And that is the society in which we live right now. And it can make someone afraid. And I think it's so important to keep going back to the Word, keep going back to the God of glory. The God of angel armies is with us. So I'm not going to react to the people, their flesh, you know, the crazy making, the lack of love. I'm going to respond to the spirit that God has put in me that is power, love, and sound mind. And I think that needs to frame these conversations because you can get so stirred up when you're discerning what's really going on today. What do you think?
Has to frame those conversations if we're going to have an impact. That passage is 2 Timothy 1:7, and Susie, you know this, but that verse forms the foundation actually of the nonprofit that Brooke and I formed. And the reason we chose that verse to form the foundation is because so in order to make an impact, we have to be freed from paralysis. We have to be freed from being stagnant as a result of being afraid. And the way that we do that is to live out of the power and the love and the sound mind that comes to us from our Heavenly Father. It is by walking in those strengths and those characteristics of our God that we're actually freed from paralysis and enabled to make an impact in our culture and in our world. And you're right, Susie, they're not easy times. These are difficult matters, and a lot of them are a matter of truth and evil or truth and wrong. But the goal here is not to vanquish those who are currently found outside of our Savior. The goal is actually to appeal to them with the power and the love and the strength of our Creator and draw them to His side. So yeah, 2 Timothy 1:7, if you want to lead a life filled with love and a life filled with power, and if you want to be free of fear, that's how you do it. You root your identity, you root your engagement, and you root your interaction with the tangible world inside of your Creator.
Amen. I'd love a text, friends. It's already the texts that have come in. Amen. And a beautiful way to begin. I don't know. There's something about hearing from you that is balm to my heart. So feel free to text an amen at any time. And if you've got questions, you can do that as well. On the other side of the break, we've got some surprise good news. I bet you can't guess what it is. I dare you. Try to guess what the good news is. I bet you can't, but I dare you to try. It's pretty fun. More with Dan Bennett on the other side. You can text 877-933-2484. We're going to talk on the other side after we get past the good news about some beautiful things, some true things. Then we'll touch into some of these talking points in the news. What are we to do? What are we to know? There's an amen. And we'll wrap in prayer and hopefully leave you at the end of the hour with a fresh faith perspective. That's what we want for you. We'll be back in a minute. Listen to Faith Radio live or on demand no matter where you go. You can download the free Faith Radio app in your app store today. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend Dan Bennett. We get him on once a month to hear about what the kind of the top points of the news are and to really kind of boil it down to what are we to do? What does God want us to know? What does He want us to do? How should we pray? And again, these are always are often uncomfortable conversations because even the church is so polarized, politically speaking, and we want to be Jesus people. We want to be people of the Word. And there are going to be differing opinions on some of these issues. And then there are some issues that when you line them up with Scripture, you got to just say this is in conflict with what we read in Scripture. It's difficult because everybody sees things differently. So as I say, the self-protection, the inner sissy, would love to avoid these conversations. But as a woman of God who fears God and loves you and loves Than and loves the call of God on our lives, we're going to delve in. But with someone like Than, who's humble and fears God and wants to walk through these conversations with as much civility and grace as we can. I will tell you, we've got a couple copies of Than's book, In Search of the King. If you want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Okay, now for the good news. Now for the good news. I wish we had a drum roll. Angie, do we have a drum roll? I'm totally putting you on the spot. Okay, okay, here's the, I can't roll my tongue, so that's as good as it gets. Than, tell us the good news. There we go. Let's go. What do you say?
I like the drum. Well, I thought that was pretty good. My daughter plays the drum. She's in the other room. I could try to get her to do it for us. But let me put it to you this way, Susie. For 25 years, I've worked at this intersection of faith and politics, but there has never been a place quite like Faith Radio where we've been able to pursue gospel-centric and service-oriented living. And most of that, Susie, has been on this show. And so I just want to first say a deep, deep thank you to you and to all of your team for that spirit. And honestly, it's because of your willingness to engage in that tension that you just described that we've developed a plan. And starting on Saturday, July 1st at 4 o'clock Central, The Equipped with Than Bennett is going to begin airing on Faith Radio Network. And so it will, of course, be available on demand wherever you get your podcasts as well. But Susie, I would tell you this, my prayer with this new broadcast that's going to accompany the newsletter, the Equipped newsletter, is just that it will be a way for us to continue growing in the grace that you just talked about, the grace of living lives that are radically devoted to serving like Jesus did and to do it in the midst of tough and trying times. I think our times would tell us that that's not possible. It would tell us that we can't do that, that there's too much pulling us apart. But I believe with all of my heart, Susie, and I know you do too, that it's not only possible, but it's actually our purpose to bring people across divides together in a commonality with Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're going to be aiming for on this show. It's going to be called The Equipped with Than Bennett. Starts July 1st at 4 p.m. Central, and I just can't wait to start.
On every Saturday, folks, so be watching. Praise God. And we've got a lot of people going, woohoo, yay, Than's getting a show. This listener says, I think it's imperative for Christians to read Scott Saul's book, A Gentle Answer, which I will tell you Scott is a friend of Than's, and to listen to Tim Keller's sermons on controversial political issues. They said, there's no one Christian political party. There are Christ followers on each side, and the scripture does not align with one party. I personally have had Christians question my faith when they found I had not voted for the person they felt was not the quote Christian candidate. People without faith move further from Christ and the church when Christians take an unloving hard stance on topics and fail to sit down with others with differing views for deep, thoughtful conversation. Loving our neighbors and listening to neighbors is the answer. Wow. That's very well put. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, I wholly agree with the recommendation to read Jesus Outside the Lines by Scott Sauls. He is a friend. He has endorsed a couple of the books I wrote, but really it came out of me reading his book, Jesus Outside the Lines. And I would tell you, I start this conversation by saying that Scott and I come down on different places on some political issues, for sure. Mm-hmm. And his book, though, challenged me to take a look at the way Jesus lived. And he had community with people that he disagreed with, and he intentionally sought them out, and he modeled a life, Susie, that said, look, I am bringing the only way to God. There is only one way to God, and it's through me. But he went to people that were outside that frame and drew them into it. He didn't go to them and say, you are outside the only way, therefore you are worthless. He went to them and offered them a better way. He went outside the lines that he knew to be true to draw people into the one eternal truth. So he just modeled, Susie, what you're talking about, this tension between there being only one truth, but that truth being available to everyone. And so I just wholly do recommend Scott's book, Jesus Outside the Lines. It's a great framework by which to try to engage these tough issues.
And what a testimony, too, that you stand on different sides of some of the issues. It's like somehow we've got to be able to model agreeing to disagree, because that, you know, divide is going so deep in the body of Christ. And we've talked about this on the show in the past because it's a deep passion for me. But denominational divisions, you know, secondary issue divisions, you know, pre-trib, post-trib, where people write someone off as a false teacher on these secondary issues when you really get to have differing opinions and still be a Christian. And if there's one thing I want so much to do, there's many things, but in this show is to equip us to somehow be so confident in God and His Word that we can walk in love with people who think differently on issues. Like my oldest son said, the truth of God's Word will always stand the test of time. It can stand up to people's questions and people's processes. And if we can be confident about that, we can love people and keep our hope in God, you know?
Well, and I've said this a bunch of times on this show, but it really, I think, bears worth repeating. If you look across the scope of human history, Susie, what you see is culture after culture, society after society that did not allow dissent, that did not allow debate, that did not allow disagreement. And ultimately, Susie, that formed the fracture of that culture and that society. And so this freedom to disagree and this freedom to debate, even outside of, you know, a scriptural context, even in a public policy debate, that freedom is so essential, a freedom to disagree with our government, a freedom to test the merits of ideas. Susie, if we want the best ideas to rise, we have to be willing to put our ideas up against someone who's have a different view and for both parties to be open to actually weighing those ideas and to seeing which one is actually the best. And so I admit, I don't necessarily like doing that because I hold really firmly to my ideas. I mean, I think the way that government works, I have a very strong opinion of how it should, and I don't really like testing it. But Susie, if I'm correct in that, if it is the strongest idea, just like your son said, it should be able to stand up to that testing. And so I've just really grown passionate in learning from history and then looking at our current posture in the American experiment, just, you know, 250 years old. I really think if it's going to stand the test of time, all of us have to get more comfortable with the importance, actually, of testing our ideas for governance against ideas that disagree with us.
Amen. Well, you said, you know, power without love is destructive. And it many would say, especially those I would say on the conservative side, that there isn't room for dissent or debate, that, you know, we're being shut down, it seems, at every turn. So what do you do with that? I mean, because then others are getting angry. And so the reactions are so angry that, like this listener who texted in, people who don't know Christ are turned off because we seem like this angry, you know, remnant of people. So what do you say as people are feeling like they're losing their voice, but they still want to speak the truth in love? What do you say?
Well, the answer is not to be milquetoast, no doubt about it. There is a one truth to stand on. But Susie, I think the opposite of the premise that you set forward is that you must have power to make a difference. And that is not what was modeled by Jesus. Jesus made himself the least among us and changed the course of human history. And I think that posture is actually the one that makes the most difference. And I would also say, I mean, there is a lot of censoring and canceling and banning, frankly, coming from a lot of different sides. I think depending on where you sit, you might think the responsibility lies across the aisle or across the ideological divide from you. But that is the way of our times, is to cancel and to silence debate. But Susie, there's just another way. And I would tell you this, even in that environment, there are more avenues for an individual citizen to express his or her ideas and beliefs today than at any other time in human history. So even with all the canceling and even with all the banning, you have more power to engage in cultural debate than almost anyone in the course of human history.
Wow, that's, let that in. This listener said, I think often of how Jesus prayed for believers to be unified in John 17. We can be an answer to his prayer if we promote unity. We won't agree on everything, of course, but can we engage with others we disagree with in love? Absolutely. We have amazing listeners. That's a wonderful insight. More with Than Bennett in just a moment. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We have our good friend Than Bennett on, and we have him on once a month, and we look for a faith perspective on some of the top news items of the day. Really seek and wrestle to find a redemptive perspective without skirting the issues, without kind of dancing around, but really diving in deep, going, this is what's true. This is what we know. Lord, what would you have us do? So we're going to dive in now. And thank you for the text for you guys praying for us. Appreciate that so very much. So here's this first one. Okay. Are you ready? The Trump indictment. Go, Than.
Nothing like controversial right now. So right. Look, when I write these on these topics in the Equip newsletter, one of the things that I try really hard to do on a controversial issue like this, Susie, is I'm not going to try to convince you of the conclusion in most situations either way. I'm going to try to give you a framework by which you can process it yourself and then engage with it. And that is absolutely the case with this story. And so when we wrote about the previous indictment of former President Trump, we did the same thing. In this week's newsletter, I laid out sort of a three-part process that I really want to encourage listeners to use when they're thinking about a story like this. Number one, I want us to actually review the facts to the extent that we can on their face for ourselves, rather than just consuming them through, you know, a talking head, someone like me. I want you to actually look at the facts that are available to you for yourself. Number two, I do want you to consider the potential motives and narratives of those who are involved. And then number three, and this is the most important one, I want us to consider what our role is as Jesus followers. And so if we just sort of walk through that rubric in this story very quickly, Susie, as far as the facts go, President Trump, former President Donald Trump, was indicted again this last week. He was arraigned again. There were 37 federal charges brought against him. They all related to alleged improper handling of records and classified materials. 31 of them, Susie, were filed under the Espionage Act. They're related to willful retention of national defense information. And then the rest of them were around record handling, obstruction of justice, and false statements. So those are sort of the facts as we know them. And I would encourage anyone who is going to form an opinion on this to start this process by actually reading this indictment. It's 49 pages. I know that might seem quite lengthy, but if we're going to be so forward as to speak into this, I think we ought to inform ourselves by at least beginning the process of knowing the facts by reading that indictment ourselves. And so I link
to it. When you say the facts, you're saying the facts of the accusations, right?
Well,
you
know. Right. Yes, and actually that's what I was about to say is eventually, and actually when we get to the third part of this rubric, this is really going to come into play because Proverbs 18:17 tells us this. The first to argue a case seems right every time. Every time, Susie. The first to argue their case seems right until what? Until the other side answers. And so part of ascertaining the facts, reading them for themselves, if you're going to engage, is going to have to be reading both sides of it. But before we even really get to that, Susie, the second part of this, the motives and the narratives, I don't know that I've seen a moment in this information age where there's been someone who has generated such passionate feelings on both sides, right? If you're a supporter of President Trump, you're probably not inclined to consider any possibility of wrongdoing. But if you're a critic of him, you're probably willing to justify just about any means to get him, right? And that seems to be the dynamic we're working in. And I think we have to return to this idea that in America, nobody is above the law and nobody is below it. Everyone is subject to it, but everyone deserves the protections of it. And Susie, that brings us to the point that you made, and it is such an important one. In our role as Jesus followers, we have got to apply Proverbs 18:17. If we are going to issue an opinion on this, if we're going to speak into it, and we're only willing to inform ourselves of one side of the argument, then we are going to short circuit that weighing of the merits that we talked about. And so I do something very often in the newsletter that is a little bit uncomfortable. But if you're a supporter of the president, of the former president, you need to be willing to consider the facts on the case and see if there was any wrongdoing. If you are a critic of the president, you need to acknowledge the potential pitfalls of a sitting president prosecuting his top ally.
Political Susie, appointment.
That's a slippery slope that we see all around the world. It's one that worries me. It's one that happens in authoritarian regimes. And I would say that if we allow an unequal application of the law, then we would slide down that slippery slope. And so the prosecutors in this case, Susie, they must be held to account, and they must be able to tell us why this case is different from previous presidents or the current president, who has also had problems with properly handling records.
Wow, thank you for that. I know this is, again, such a slippery slope and such a difficult conversation. When you think about, just because you're way more informed in history and what has gone on in the past, but hasn't this happened with many political leaders in the past, even those who don't have full access to classified documents? I mean, does it feel like an overplaying of hand? I'm not saying he's fully innocent, because I have not read the documents. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking, based on, you know, reports I've heard in the past of others who've had, you know, in their hand classified documents, and a prosecution did not happen, even investigation didn't happen. So does it feel like kind of an unequal justice here? I mean, unequal, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I want to stop short of prejudging the case. I do think it's important to let the justice system play out, so I'm not going to predict how it goes. But I will answer that question with quite a bit of specificity on two levels, Susie. I have read the indictment. I have also read a lot of the factual information surrounding some of the previous cases. And I will tell you, the set of facts feels pretty similar to me to the situation involving Hillary Clinton's server. It really does. It doesn't feel that similar to the set of facts involving the current president or the former president, Mike Pence. They don't feel the same. I do feel like the charges in the indictment are serious, but I feel like they're similar to the ones that were could have been in play in the Hillary Clinton case. But I will tell you this, Susie, where I maybe get a little bit more concerned. We have had multiple situations where someone with significantly less power, an enlisted member of the military or some low-level staffer, has served prison time for charges far less than any of these presidents or former presidents. And it feels to me that when you achieve a certain level of elected office, you do become immune from the law, and you do become above the law. And I would say two things, and these are going to seem to contradict each other. One, we can't have that situation where we have classes of people where certain people are not subject to the law. At the same time, Susie, we must not have unequal application of the law. If one president can't do it, another president must not be allowed to do it. It has to be applied evenly if our way of government is going to survive.
Boy, I so appreciate your commentary, Thanos. And, you know, thinking about even, I mean, this is unrelated, but you'll see where I'm going with this. But like, I've got a lot of friends who are fiction writers. And when they talk about the secret to writing a good story, it's super important to know that the bad person isn't, you know, the antagonist isn't always all bad. And then the protagonist is not always all good. And in real life, it's that way too. But we have lived in our echo chambers so much that if you find yourself in the mindset that your side is always right and all good, and their side is always wrong and all bad, you're in a tough situation. And maybe you need to go for a walk with someone that is a good person, that thinks differently, and have the courage to say, help me understand how you land there. You know, I've got loved ones and people in my sphere who vote differently, who think differently. And when I ask them, help me understand how you got there, so often they're landing there because they love people and they just think there's a different way to achieve what they think is the right way to go. They're not like sinister and laughing wickedly behind closed doors, hoping to destroy systems. Do you know what I'm saying? I believe there are corrupt leaders, but there are really good people who just arrive at a different conclusion. And somehow, some way, you know, I think when we see Jesus face to face, it's like, you know, we will have to account for, what did we do with these issues? Did we discard the person and keep the issue front and center? I mean, these are hard times, but I'm just saying, if you think you're always right and all good and they're always wrong and all bad, even that, ask the Lord, show me where I'm blind. And we'd love for you to comment on that.
Well, there's no question there are corrupt leaders, Susie. That's been true for as long as mankind walked the face of the earth. And, you know, one of the promises of the American government is that we would have a way to hold our leaders accountable. And so that's why the circumstance that I just described to you is so troubling to me. If we get to a place where the powerful in our country are not subject to the law, we will lose that ability to hold corrupt leaders accountable. And so it is incredibly important that if an enlisted service member is going to be held to a certain standard when handling classified information, then the commander in chief, no matter the party, no matter the affiliation, no matter the current administration in charge, must be held to that same standard. And Susie, I think if you look back over the last 25 or 30 years, we have not lived up to that standard. Enlisted service members have been held to account, and the powerful have not. I would tell you this, though. Let me shift just a little bit, because I think it's important to cast a vision for what can be here. I think there's a lot of mess here that's going to have to be worked out. But I think as individual voters, as individual advocates on all sides of the aisle, we have the power here to insist on something different. As we go through another primary process, and I actually think there might be a primary on both sides of the aisle this time. We'll see. But either way, as you go through the process, let's hold our own side accountable to this. Let's insist on leaders who will pledge to go above and beyond the call of duty when it comes to things like record keeping and proper handling of documents. Let's insist on them actually upholding themselves to the law, subjecting themselves to the law, even if they don't think they will be prosecuted. And Susie, I would say this. Let's clean our own political house. Let's not nominate candidates who won't pledge to make sure that they're subject to the law and go above and beyond the call of duty. I think we have that power on both sides of the aisle, and I think we ought to implement it.
You know, we're months away from that whole political season kicking in, and so now's the time, I would say, fast and pray. If you really care about your nation and care about discernment, fast and pray and ask God what he would have you do, because you're right. We have a voice. We have a say. Just a side note before we move to the student loans. So you don't think President Biden will be running again?
Oh, no, I do think he's running, Susie. I just think that there, I would not be surprised if there will be credible candidates get in to run against him. I think there's enough uncertainty about his ability to carry out a term that I think you've probably got a lot of ambitious politicians that might get in just in case.
Interesting. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk student loans, flooding, lessons from the debt limit deal. And again, if you've got questions, text them in. But boy, I can't just tell you what it means to see these texts coming in. I just love and appreciate you so much. I love that we can keep it real, keep it raw on this show and do our faith journey together, keep helping each other to look up. Appreciate you so much. Talking to Than Bennett today. What good conversation. And we'll talk more with Than in just a moment. Hi, this is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I remember a time as a young mom walking through a difficult time when some friendships broke down and who I thought were my friends turned on me. I soon started to hear things they were saying, and I was devastated because their critique of me matched my inner critic as well. And I learned three things from that time as I drew closer to God. One was that God loves me no matter what. No one can gossip enough about me to God to make him change his mind about me. He loves me. Two, my identity is secure because I'm created by God. He's already decided about me. And three, I have no option but to forgive. I remember the Lord said, keep the light on in your heart. Keep your heart receptive in case they ever repent and come back. Those three things were really crucial in my maturing of the faith, and maybe you needed to hear them today as we're exploring the theme of forgiveness this month. God loves you. No one can gossip enough about you to make him change his mind about you, which means your identity is secure. And thirdly, if you take your faith walk seriously, then unforgiveness, is never an option. Forgiveness is always the call. You can do it. With God's help, one step at a time, you can do it. Connecting faith to life and praying together at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend Than Bennett for I don't know how many years, but he joined us every month for a faith perspective from the Hill because he worked in public policy. He has stepped out and he's got an amazing ministry right now. And another part of the good news around just all that God has him doing, he and Brooke, his wife, have started an organization to help find and fund an adoptive family for every child in foster care. Talk about an audacious, audacious goal. God's got him doing some other things as well. But one thing we're super excited about is Than's got his own show on Faith Radio starting in July on Saturdays, 4 o'clock Central Standard Time. And if you can't catch the live show, you can catch a podcast once the show is over. And so we talked about the Trump indictment, and you did so with such care. And again, I know that's not an easy one. Before we get into student loans, you've got a pretty big announcement, and I think it's no small thing. So let's pause and have another moment of celebration before we dig into some more of the weighty stuff in the news.
Yeah, appreciate that, Susie. We are rejoicing here. You mentioned that Brooke and I, my wife Brooke and I, have started a nonprofit. It's called A Fearless Life, and the goal is to find families and then to fund families for every adoption-eligible foster child in America. And so we've been building the infrastructure, we've been raising funds, and we've established a partnership and soon to be two partnerships with placement agencies. But the big news is, Susie, literally last night, our board approved the funding for our first adoptive family. And so this morning, A Fearless Life sent funds to fund a family that stepped forward to adopt from foster care. And because of those who have given to A Fearless Life, that family, Susie, is going to welcome a child who is currently without a home into their home forever. Mm. And they're going to do it with a partner agency and no fees. They're going to do it cost-free. Wow. And so that's the model. We're so excited that our first family is funded. And we're just believing for, quite honestly, Susie, we're believing for tens and tens of thousands of more.
Wow. Wow, just amazing. I've got a text coming in with some of the celebration confetti. Thank you, Lord. That is just, we celebrate with you. And A Fearless Life, does it have its own website, afearlesslife.com, I'm thinking?
It's afearlesslife.org, yes.
.org, fearlesslife.org.
Always looking for supporters. Or, Susie, Even more importantly, if you're a family out there and you've got room in your heart and your home to adopt from foster care, we'll pay for your adoption.
Yeah. As they say, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. So he will provide. All right. And Angie said she'll put it in the show notes. We got some hallelujahs coming in as well. That is just amazing. Think about that life. The trajectory is forever changed now because of loving families, bringing them in, changing their life and their legacy, their future. And may this be the case for many, many more children. Praise God. Imagine this family getting the news. Imagine this child getting the news. You have a forever home and a forever family. Wow, that is powerful. Another text came. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry to step on you. My heart's bursting on this one. Romans 12 talks about how we have the spirit of adoption from our Father. Mm. And so walking in the physical act of adoption in this world on earth, Susie, I just think it's maybe the closest model that we can walk out for God's love for us. He went and gave us the spirit of adoption and added us to his family. And we can do the same in a very tangible way here. So I just love it. My heart's full today because of it.
Amazing. And one of my dreams is that we could get some families that listen to this show that feel that quickening in their spirit, that they step up and reach out to Than and they think, I have an extra room, I've got an extra bed, count me in. And who knows what might happen. Karen texts in, that is awesome. Praise God. Mary texts in, a home family for every waiting child. This dear one says, oh, my heart. Praise God. Another one says, hallelujah. So people are celebrating. Thank you, Lord. Fearlesslife.org, in case you want to adopt or you want to help someone else. Jesus cares about the orphan. Boy, he talks about that in Scripture. God talks about that in the Old Testament. So pretty powerful. Okay, now to the less exciting stuff, but we got to talk about it. Student loans, debt cancellation. What say you?
Yeah, I think probably people heard a lot about this because there were a lot of issues that were interrelated to each other happening around student loans. There were two developments that happened the same week, and then we're kind of waiting for the fruition of a third. But one, as part of the deal to raise the debt ceiling, and we talked about that on the show last month, I believe, Congress set a new date. It's August 29th as the date by which students who have federal student loans have to start making payments again. That had been suspended, Susie, ever since COVID lockdowns happened in March of 2020. And so Congress said, you've got to start that back up. Next, the Senate and the House actually passed a piece of legislation that would repeal a Biden administration plan to cancel about $400 billion in student loan debt. And so the president has said that he's going to veto that, and Congress doesn't have the votes to override it. So if that were the end of that portion of the story, Susie, then that cancellation plan would go forward. But the third piece of news that's still yet to come is that the Supreme Court is going to rule on the constitutionality of that loan forgiveness plan here any day. I think there's a pretty good chance it's going to be struck down. And so I think the takeaway here, maybe two of them, but one, a lot of different interrelated issues here. The student loan repayments are going to restart, and we don't yet know if the loan repayment plan is going to be ruled constitutional. And then the second takeaway, Susie, I think we as Jesus followers, if we look at Scripture, and I put a bunch of this in the newsletter, we need to separate what the requirements are that the Bible gives us, which is clearly to be compassionate and generous and to be forgiving to those who are in our debt, with the duty of those who have issued this debt. The federal government doesn't really have the authority, in my view, as I look through Scripture, to grant this loan forgiveness. So I don't think it's probably constitutional either, Susie, but I think if we look at Scripture pulling apart the individual responsibility we have to be compassionate and generous from the governing responsibility of the federal government, I think that might change the lens at which we look at an issue like this.
Wow. And I want to understand, you said that the president will likely veto the bill, but you still feel like it may not go through. Explain that. I might have missed that point.
Sure. Yeah, no, this is where it gets confusing. So the bill that was passed by Congress would repeal the Biden plan to cancel that debt. However, in order for that bill to become law, President Biden would have to sign it, right? He's going to veto it. Now, the only way to override a veto is to have a supermajority in both chambers, and Congress doesn't have that. So even though they pass this legislation, the president's going to veto it, and the plan is going to stay in place. But if the Supreme Court strikes it down, it would essentially have the same effect as the bill that the House and Senate passed.
Wow. Okay.
Clear
What's
as
your
mud?
Gut feeling about that? Clear as mud. Well, thank you for that. What do you think's going to happen with that?
I think it's likely that the Supreme Court is going to strike it down. I really do. I think the Congress has the power of the purse and the authority to issue and take on federal student loan debt is derived from that power. I don't know that the authorizing statute gives, or at least I'm skeptical that the authorizing statute gives the administration the authority to unilaterally cancel this debt. So we'll see. Predicting the Supreme Court can be a perilous endeavor, Susie, but if I had to guess, I think that the Supreme Court's probably going to strike it down.
Okay, interesting. Any more you wanted to say about the debt limit?
I think so, actually. I think this is a really great reminder for us to look in the rearview mirror just a little bit and realize that sort of this new lens and this new posture that we're encouraging each other to look through really works. I mean, we wrote about this in the Equip newsletter for a number of weeks leading up to it, and we essentially said the same thing every week. We said there's not a deal. The rhetoric and the hyperbole is going to be through the roof. There will eventually be a deal, and it probably won't remedy the spending problem. And Susie, that's exactly how it played out. There was yelling and screaming and animosity all the way up to the end. Everybody on both sides was being stirred up, and then you got right up to the deadline. And as pretty much always happens, they did strike a deal to raise the debt limit and avoid default on our debt, but they really didn't tackle the upside down spending problem and the upside down budget problem that we have in this country. And so I guess the two takeaways for me are we still have a fiscal issue to address, But we on the sort of the outside, Susie, I think we can learn from this. This is going to happen again in 2 years. The sides are going to spin up again, and we don't have to be spun up with it. We can understand how this is going to play out if we'll learn from history.
Thank you for that. And this may be the dumbest question you've ever heard, and just because I don't fully understand it. But yeah. What point is defaulting on the loan the lesser of the two evils? I mean, how many times can you raise the debt limit where that's more destructive than defaulting? I just don't know. So is there anything you can say to that?
I don't know where that line is, Susie, but that is the furthest thing from the dumbest question in the world. In fact,
it
is shocking to me that our elected officials aren't asking that question right now, because I think everyone listening can understand that raising the debt limit is a Band-Aid if you're just going to continue spending more than you take in, right? Of course, you're going to reach that limit again, and you're going to be faced with the same situation. Look, all of us have to do it. We sit around our kitchen table, and we ascertain what's coming in and what's going out, and we figure out a way to balance those two things. The U.S. government, Susie, does not do that. They do not do that. They chronically spend more than they take in. And I would land here, though. We can point that finger, or on both sides of the aisle, we can elect officials who we get to choose who will stop doing that. We have the power. We can change it. We can make it a priority.
I hope you hear Than's empowering. And I really, you know, even though we are in summer months, I pray that we could take this serious enough to really seek God on what He wants us to do in our local communities, how to vote and how to, you know, just really how to be engaged in policies in a way that can help shape our culture. Because as you said, it's easy to be on the sidelines and be a Monday morning quarterback or whatever, but to be someone who's, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Those are Jamie Winship's two questions. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And if we each carry a portion of God's burden, we will fulfill His purposes on earth. Than, congratulations on the new show. Congratulations on funding the first family adoption. Absolutely amazing and super excited about the future. You stepped out in faith, and you wouldn't see these things happening if you wouldn't have stepped out. But it's a reminder that when God calls you out of the boat, there's that in-between time, and then you get to see the fulfillment of some pretty amazing things. We're so thrilled for you, Than. Thank you for joining us today.
You've been an integral part of that for a long time, Susie. We love you.
So appreciate that. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I just can't thank you enough for your text. Boy, I love you guys. And it's such an honor to do this journey with you. I pray you found some encouragement here and even felt a little maybe more equipped to navigate the times we're in. We can do this, friends. The Spirit of God is alive in us. I'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.